Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
And turn with me to the book of Philemon, okay? Philemon's in the New Testament. Just kind of a quick way to find it, go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and turn right. You'll get into Acts and then Romans, two larger books. You'll get into the epistles of Paul, and then you get into what do I call the T section. You got 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and then the next book you'll find is Philemon. It's only 25 verses, so if you get to Hebrews, you've gone too far, go back to the left. So what I want to talk about in Philemon, you know, it's the shortest of Paul's letters. It's not the shortest book in the Bible, but it's the shortest and most, I guess, personal of all the letters that Paul would write. And it deals with a very important topic that I believe we need within the church today. I would say we need within families today. I'd say we need within even Sunday school classes in small groups. We need within just our those around us. And the book of Philemon deals with the topic of forgiveness. And John MacArthur, as he said, forgiveness must be important to God because he takes an entire book of the Bible. There's only 66 books in the Bible, and the entire book deals with forgiveness. And I believe that a lack of forgiveness so often is what hinders revival within our churches. It keeps pain alive in our families. It builds up walls with relationships. And here's what's amazing. So often, it's not even the person that we're really struggling with that where the lack of forgiveness is. It could be a parent that we've not been able to forgive for something, and they're not even alive anymore. But because we never dealt with forgiveness, we've never dealt with it, it's still something that's active in our lives, and it's hindering us and hurting the relationships that we have today. I know 20 plus years of pastoral ministry, I've been amazed to find when you're talking to couples that are struggling, you get to the root cause of that. It's unreconciled problems, unreconciled grievances, and some of those, again, go back generations and aren't even dealing with the person that the conflict is with alive today. So we're going to preach through the book of Philemon. We're going to take three messages, and we're going to talk about forgiveness. The forgiveness that we are to have as believers in Christ. You know, in the book of Philemon, we're going to be introduced to some people. We certainly have. It's written by Paul. And we're going to learn about Philemon. Philemon was an elder in the church of Colossae. He was certainly a godly man. We're going to talk about that today. He had a church that was meeting in his home in Colossae. But what's interesting is we're also going to learn about a runaway slave by the name of Onesimus. Okay? Onesimus not only ran away from Philemon, he stole money from Philemon. Now, Onesimus, at this point, Philemon would have every right to kill this slave, to end this slave's life, not only because he's run away, but because he's stolen from him. But Paul meets Onesimus. Onesimus runs away to Rome, where he meets the Apostle Paul. He comes to faith in Christ. He begins to grow in his faith, and he knows he needs to make things right with Philemon. So Paul writes a letter to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus. He's going to say, you know, this one who has hurt you, this one who has run away from you, I have seen him embrace Christ. He's now a brother in Christ. I'm appealing to you as a brother in Christ. Would you forgive this one who has wronged you? Paul even goes as far as saying, what he has taken from you, I will make restoration on his behalf. But I am reaching out to you as a brother. Would you forgive this person who has wronged you? Now, the reason I think it's important for us to spend these 3 weeks, we won't do it next week, but then we'll finish it the last two Sundays in May. We're going to talk about, again, something I think is very important for us today. In a day where we can hold on to grudges, we can hold on to past hurts that go back sometimes even decades. And we need to deal with those because it will hinder our relationship with Christ. It will hinder our work as a local body. It will hinder our walks if we don't deal with it, because God tells us to deal with it. In today's message, I've called it the heart of forgiveness, because in the first 7 verses, Paul is going to, in some ways, describe Philemon. And you're going to see, as he describes Philemon, you're going to see a man that he felt comfortable. Paul feels very comfortable saying, even in such a grievous situation, would you forgive this brother? So what we're going to do today, we're going to look at how Paul describes Philemon. And we're going to ask this question, is this how someone would describe us? And boy, I've been convicted this week as I've gone through this. Because I'll just tell you, as I ask, is this how someone would describe me? And everything within me says, boy, I wish it was. I wish this is how someone would describe me, but I'm just not sure they could. But I want it to be. I want the way that Paul describes Philemon to be the way that someone would describe me, and make it where they would have no question. They could come to me and say, would you forgive me? Or they could come to me and say, hey, you've wronged me, but I forgive you. Let's look at this passage beginning in verse 1. I'm going to concentrate in verses 4 through 7, but we're going to go back to verse 1 to Paul's greeting. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. Notice Paul doesn't lead with, I'm an apostle. He doesn't lead with setting his authority, like, you're going to do this because I'm going to make you. Now, he's going to talk about that later, but he appeals to him as just a brother in Christ. As a brother in Christ, I want to appeal to you for another brother in Christ. It says, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Alphaea, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that is in your house, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and great, the New King James says consolation, it means comfort. He's saying, I take great joy and great comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. I want us to talk about how Paul describes Philemon. And just begin, as we start talking 3 weeks about forgiveness, let's not today deal with the act of forgiveness. We're going to talk about that in the weeks to come. What did Paul say he needed to do? But we're going to talk about the heart of forgiveness. The heart that I believe we need to have if we're going to be able to forgive people who've wronged us. But also the heart that we're going to have even to let it go if they're no longer in our lives. Or the heart if someone comes to us and says, you've wronged me, that we would be broken and we would ask them to forgive us. What is it that we need in our lives? The first thing is this: Philemon showed the love of Christ. 5 times, Paul's going to talk about Philemon's love. And it says in verse 4, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love. And then he describes that love as which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And in verse 7, for we have great joy and comfort in your love. And then three other times in the book, he's going to talk about the love that Philemon has. And he uses the agape form of love, which is not a superficial love. It's not a sentimental love. It's a self-sacrificing love. It's the same love that would describe that Christ had when he was able to say, we've just come through Easter, when he was able to say on a cross, Father, forgive them. Where everything within us would have wanted to, Father, don't forgive them, curse them. You know, strike them all down. Would that have been in our heart? But yet the love of Christ that he has for humanity, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the love that Paul is describing when he says of Philemon, I take great comfort in the love. Now, what was it about that love? It was a love that first began in Christ. He says, I see the love that you have that is grounded, that is rooted in a love for Christ. So, you know, that's where I ask this question. If someone were to describe me, here's what I would love for them to say. Wouldn't it be great if they'd say, man, he just loves the Lord with all his heart. Would that not be a great testimony? Would that not be a great word to have on your tombstone? He loved the Lord with all his heart. Now, in the first service, that's the song the kids sang. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. I thank God we're teaching our kids that. Because, you know, so often we're guilty of just teaching our kids what not to do. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But we're guilty because we don't tell them why. You know, we need to spend just as much time when telling them not to do, we ought to teach them to love Jesus Christ with all their heart. Because you know what? If they will love Christ, learn to love Christ with all their heart, the things not to do will be a lot easier to teach. If we will just teach them, love God with all your heart. That's how he describes. He is, I see the love that you have for Jesus Christ. But because that's that self-sacrificing agape love, it's not a love that you keep inside. It's a love that then, I like, it just oozes out of you. It just pours out to those around you. So he says, I see your love, the love that you have toward Jesus Christ. But then it comes back and says, and toward all the saints. See, Jesus demonstrated his love and that he gave himself for us. Paul's saying to Philemon, I see the love that you have and how it pours out. It's grounded in Christ, but it pours out to those around you. You know, that's where it must start. So if someone were to describe you, would they say there's a person that loves Jesus with all their heart? I pray that it is. That's where I'm convicted. I just don't know that it is. But boy, that's what I would love for someone to describe me. And it ought to be your desire that someone would describe you is that way, is they love God with all their heart. Because if they do, if they know that is what is within our heart, they will have no problem approaching us and saying, forgive me. Because they know the love of Christ will compel us to forgive. There will be no problem in them coming to us and saying, you've wronged me, because they know the love of Christ will desire to come out and we will want their forgiveness if we have wronged them. So the heart of forgiveness began with a deep love that Philemon had for Christ. And I pray that we would have that as well. But secondly, Philemon demonstrated faith in Christ. He demonstrated a tremendous faith in Christ, because notice, when we read verse 4, we kind of looked over two words that are very important. It's at verse 5. It says, hearing of your love. We talked about that. But then it says, and faith. And the way he puts that together, he says, just like you have a love that's grounded in Christ and then pours out to others. So I see a faith that you have that is a faith in Christ and a faith that is demonstrated toward others. You not only talk about the faith that you have, you are actively seeking to live out the faith that you have. And Paul knew if you're serious about living out your faith, you will have a heart of forgiveness. You see, maybe that's what you're wondering. Pastor, I see how love and forgiveness goes together, but how does faith and forgiveness go together? I tell you how. It's called the gospel. And I'll just tell you, sometimes you may have been done so wrong that the only reason in the world that I could give you that you ought to forgive somebody, and the only answer I've got is because God would desire that you do that. Because that's what God has told us to do. See, in faith, it was a faith in Christ. And a faith in Christ is rooted in the gospel. See, the gospel says that God created mankind, and it was good. It was perfect harmony. But yet sin entered the world, and when sin entered the world, death entered the world. But God, choosing not to let us remain in that hopeless state, sent his Son, Christ Jesus, to die for us so that we could place our faith and our hope and our trust, our faith, in him. And he ascended into heaven, and one day he's going to call us home. He's going to return. We're going to be with him in his presence forever. That's the gospel. But here's how it plays in with forgiveness. You didn't deserve that forgiveness. You didn't earn that forgiveness. I didn't deserve that forgiveness. I didn't earn that forgiveness. It was freely given by Christ. So when you say, well, that person doesn't deserve me to forgive them, God could say the same thing about you. You didn't deserve my forgiveness, but I freely gave it to you. Now, if you're my follower, you go and do likewise and let it go. Just offer that forgiveness that you've been offered. Remember, the disciples struggled with this. The disciples said, well, should I forgive? And I really think he thought he was doing well, Andy. I thought he said, when he said, well, should I forgive seven times? I bet he thought Jesus was going to say, oh, if you do that, that's wonderful. That's amazing. Jesus said 70 times seven. Now, don't do the math and don't think, well, okay, don't look at your husband and say, all right, you're on 395. You're getting close. You better be careful, okay? No, that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus is given here, wait a minute, there shouldn't be a limit to our forgiveness because there wasn't a limit in the forgiveness that God was willing to pour out upon us. How many of you, just by show of hands, you would say, yeah, I either know or I think pretty well I sinned last week. Raise your hand. Okay. Aren't you thanking God that the limit of his grace didn't stop when you received him as Savior? That he continues to willingly pour out his grace and forgiveness upon your life. So if we are a Christ follower, we ought to do that as well. That is how the faith that we proclaim, the faith that we live out, is rooted in the gospel and is how it goes hand in hand with the forgiveness we ought to offer to others. How many of you use this one, parents? Let me talk to you. I call it the parental trump card. You know, you tell your child to do something and they ask why, and you give them a reason and they ask why, and you give them another reason and ask why, and then you get frustrated. And what's the answer? Because I said so. That's the parental trump card. You use, I use it. Because I said so. That's why you need to do it. Well, that may be the only reason you can come up with, humanly speaking, of why you ought to forgive the person that's wronged you, and it's because God your Father said so. God your Father said, if you want to experience the right relationship with me, a relationship that I desire, you must be willing to forgive others just as I have forgiven you. So when Paul saw that, when he hears of the love that he has, and he hears the faith that he has, again, grounded in Christ, but poured out upon others, he knew he could go to Philemon in this letter and say, hey, will you forgive the one who has wronged you? So it was a love of Christ, a faith in Christ. The third reason is this: Philemon sought to be a blessing through Christ. He sought to be a blessing through Christ. It says in verse 7, it says, for we have great joy and we have great comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you. Paul says, when I see how love and faith goes together, I see how refreshing you have been as an elder. I see how refreshing you've been to those around you. And he had no doubt that he could, as one brother to another brother, say, would you extend the forgiveness that God has given you? You know, that's a question I've asked is, you know, are we refreshing to others? You know, when we enter the room, do people say amen, or do they go, oh my? You know, they like put their cell phone up like they're talking on it. And then they scurry out the door, you know. Probably not a good sign, but, you know, and I know we're going to have bad days, but as a whole, are we refreshing to people? You know, if we're living out our faith, living out the love that we have in Christ, that will be attractional. And I think people will want to talk to us. People will want to hear, because it's just what he says here. You've been refreshing in a day that can be dark, in a day that can be dry. You have been refreshing to the brothers. You know, I think about that every time I hear that word refreshing. I think of the church in Revelation 3, Laodicea. Talked through this one time in Revelation, but in Laodicea, and it's a verse I always struggled with, because it was the lukewarm church, and it was written, you know, I would rather you either be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out. I never understood that, and it always confused me. Because to me, I didn't see how it went hand in hand with sanctification. Because I think in sanctification, you know, as you're growing more like Christ, you kind of start out cold and you get warmer and warmer, and hopefully you get to that hot point where you're a hot-hearted follower of Christ. So I never understood how God would say, I would rather you be cold than lukewarm. Well, now I finally heard it explained in this way, and you had to understand exactly how the Laodicean church would have heard this. See, just north of Laodicea were natural springs, and there were hot springs, and people would go to those springs and they would get in the water, and it would have very much a medicinal effect. It would just like a hot tub is. It would give soothing relief to sore muscles, to hurting bodies. And they would go there and get in the hot water, but also in that area were cold springs. And so they could get in the cold water and it would be very refreshing to them. But here's what happened. As those springs flowed, the waters would come together just where the Laodicea was, and it would pass over mineral beds. And so the hot springs and cold springs would come together and they would form warm water runoffs. And because it went over the mineral beds, it would become very bitter. So it was water that you couldn't drink. You would put it in your mouth and you would spew it out, exactly how it described the church. So he's saying, I would want you to be hot. You've got the healing message of the gospel. But also, there's a coldness. You ought to be refreshing to the saints around you. You ought to be refreshing to a world that needs hope. But you're neither one. You're like that water that's just run off and it's become no use for anything. See, it's God's desire that certainly we take the life-changing message of Christ, but it's God's desire that we refresh those around us. We ought to have something within us that is attractional, again, because we're showing the love of Christ. We're demonstrating the faith that we have. And I tell you, if we will do that, if we'll make that our desire, people will want to find out what is different in our lives than the average person they come in contact with. You know, John MacArthur said, when we refuse, talking about refreshing others, he said this, when we refuse to forgive, when we just hold on to bitterness and anger in our lives, he said four things happen. First of all, it keeps the hurt alive. See, when you hold on to anger, you may think it's hurting someone else, but you know, it's just keeping the pain alive in your life. Secondly, is it just allows bitterness to create in our life. Adrian Rogers said, when you're bitter against someone, it's like drinking poison expecting the other person to die. But you're the one that's being affected by it. The third thing MacArthur says is it gives Satan a foothold in our lives. Because so often when we refuse to forgive and we harbor that anger and that bitterness and that resentment, as walls go up, it gives Satan a foothold in our life. And so often other sin will come into our life because we refuse to forgive others. And he said the fourth thing is it hinders your fellowship with God. I will tell you this, if your heart is full of anger toward someone else, toward bitterness, I promise you, according to his word, your fellowship with God is not where it ought to be. You may think that it is, but God's word is clear. He said, if you're unwilling to forgive others, then I'm unwilling to forgive you. So that relationship can't be where God desires it to be as long as there is anger and resentment in our lives and we're not willing to forgive others, or we're not even willing to go and ask someone, or hey, would you forgive me? We just continue to let it hold on. I know you say, Pastor, you just don't understand. I was told that recently. Pastor, you don't understand what it's like to be left. You and Lori, you've been married for 26 years. Pastor, you don't know what it's like to be walked out on. When I was 2 days old, I was left in an orphanage. Okay, I don't remember it, but I spent about 25 years wondering why I was left. Don't tell me I don't know. I may not understand everything, but I can understand that one. And in that, you know what I had to do? It took me years. I had to finally, I learned some things about it. And I was just reminded, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was this family who could not take care of me to place me with someone who could. But I finally had to let go of that anger and that bitterness toward people that I didn't even know. Now, I may not know everything that you're going through, but I tell you this, God does. And God doesn't qualify in his word what you ought to forgive and what you shouldn't forgive. He just says, you know what? If we have a love for him, if we have a faith in him, if we desire to be a blessing to those around us, it's going to create within us a heart where we are willing to forgive those around us. I read this week, I'm going to close with this. You know, Corrie Ten Boom was arrested. She and her family were trying to hide Jewish people during the Nazi concentration camp era, during the Nazi regime. They were caught and they were arrested, and Corrie Ten Boom was placed in just the terrible concentration camp at Ravensbrück, and she was held in a room that was created for 400 people, and there were 1,400 people crammed in this room. She watched her sister Betsy die. She experienced, I won't go into the graphic details, she experienced the worst degradation and abuse that a human being, especially a female, can go through. She was just miraculously liberated in 1944. And she writes that in 1947, she was sharing a message about forgiveness when she looked out and she saw the most evil, the worst of the army officers that had been in the camp. She said, I could still remember him walking in his leather whip that he would carry would be banging against his side. And he said, I saw him, and I'm preaching on forgiveness. She said, when I was done, he walked up to me. And he said, I've placed my faith in Christ. And I know that God has forgiven me of the atrocities in my life. But could I please, is there any way I could hear from your mouth that you forgive me? Having just preached on forgiveness, she said, everything in my life wanted to pull my hand away and say, no, I'll never forgive you. She said, strictly in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, she said, I stuck out my hand. And I said, I forgive you. And she said, there has never been more of a flood of weights taken off her life than in that moment. She wrote these words, you never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies. Even when you don't want to, if we will reach out and forgive those who've hurt us, it's amazing how that will heal, that will restore, that could bring revival, that could bring walls down if we truly would have a heart of forgiveness that Philemon had, that we're going to see him live out in the next two sermons that we do in this message. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.